Welcome to the Standard Bread Podcast by Raising the Standards, where you'll get easy to follow retraining advice to help you feel less confused and more confident to swing into the saddle and unharness the potential of your standard bread. Here's your host, lover of a good old champ with a stamp, Nick Tassoni.
Hey, Standy fan, thanks so much for joining me today for the second ever episode of the Standard Bread Podcast. My name's Nick Tassoni, and I'm from Raising the Standards. And today we're just going to introduce to you all the topic of bend and suppleness and flexion and all of those lovely, wiggly, flexible horse sort of movements that we're going to be asking our horse to do under saddle. And I guess I want to explain maybe why this can be so challenging for the green standard bred, and give you some tips and suggestions for ways that you can start to increase your horse's suppleness and really set them up for a long and comfortable career under saddle. So the reason why standard breds struggle so much with bend and suppleness, I think, is because when they are trained in cart, they wear particular pieces of gear which really restricts the amount of bend and flexion the horse can sort of achieve through whether it's just the neck or through the whole barrel of the body. And it becomes second nature to the horse. And it can be really hard when you inherit this horse post-racing, I guess, for them to understand that the gear's gone and everything's changed, the rules have changed, and that they're going to be not only asked to do things they've never been asked to do before, but they're actually going to physically be able to do them because they're not restricted by pieces of gear. So I'm not a harness racing professional, but from what I've seen, some of the pieces of gear that can really restrict the amount of suppleness and bend through the horse will be things like just even the shafts of the sulky, which might run up to the shoulders. There are pieces of gear for horses who are a bit wiggly. I think that's why they use them. If you're a harness racing person, listen to this and I've got it wrong, I'm sorry. Called like the lugging pole, and even pieces of gear like a head check, which is sort of designed to lift the horse's head up. They can sort of restrict the amount of lateral movement and neck bend sort of side to side if they're clicked up quite tightly, which will also sort of inhibit the ability for the horse to sort of look around and bend more. If you go to raisingthestandards.com.au/02, because this is our second episode of the podcast, I will drop a video in there that you can have a look at, which will just demonstrate what I'm about to explain, which is how a harness racehorse will turn a corner typically. So if you watch that video, what it will show you is that the horse sort of turns a bit like a sprinkler. The driver will ask them to turn, for example, to the right, and the horse will step out with their right shoulder and not bend their neck at all usually, literally step out with that shoulder, and then their whole body just sort of glides towards that direction. And the last thing really to move is their back legs. So it's kind of like if you look at a sprinkler, sort of the center of the sprinkler stays still, and then all of the outside thing just follows this nice arc. And that's really what when we're looking at the way a harness racehorse turns. Now, if you compare that to what we ask our horse to do, even in general riding, but more specifically in the technical disciplines like dressage and show jumping and whatnot, we're really asking them, we apply the same sort of rein pressure that a driver will, because they wear a bit the same and they wear two reins. So really, how do they know the difference? You put that direct rein pressure on and the riding horse will just bend its body or bend its head and look where it's going. Standard breds don't. So we've got a lot of sort of undoing and unpacking our baggage from harness racing training to really sort of work on before we can then create these new rules. And I always think the easiest way to do this sort of thing and introduce it is to do it systematically. You can do it from the ground, or you can start doing it under saddle in those slower gaits like the walk. It's also important for our standard bred as well. We just got to bear in mind a little bit that our position as a rider can really impact upon our horse, and they're learning to balance themselves independently, often for the first time in their entire life when they're geared up to go and do a workout. When they're in harness racing gear, they can lean a little bit on pieces of gear to give them balance and support. So when we take that gear away now and we just ride in a bridle and a saddle, it can take them a bit of time to sort of get balanced and learn to sort of balance themselves independently, I guess, of gear. But also the things we do and the little subtle shifts in movement that we have in the saddle can really greatly impact upon our horse, because they have to balance themselves and sort of try and compensate for us sometimes. So it's a lot going on for the horse in their head, and all the rules have changed. Something that I would really strongly suggest you start working on from day one, whether it's on the ground before you start riding or just slowing it down, part of your warm-ups perhaps, I would do a lot of bend and suppleness work. The reason I've been inspired to talk about this topic today is because in this month's group coaching Facebook activity in our private student group for our Team RTS Champs with Stamps members, we're working on some specific exercises to enhance this sort of sense of balance and suppleness. And the great thing about doing these sort of exercises is that it also breaks up just that boredom of doing the same workout every ride. It's easy to get bored. So it's nice to mix things up a little bit. So we're doing a little bit more intensive sort of how to do these activities and what I'm looking for in our Team RTS Champs with Stamps membership program. But I have put together a little quick assessment sheet for everybody listening to this podcast today that you can go and look at. So it's in that same section as the video. So raisingthestandards.com.au/02. There's a little download box that you can just enter your details in, and I'll send you an email directly that has a PDF worksheet which will help you just to assess where your horse's sense of bend and suppleness is at. Where are they in their retraining? Are they counterflexed? And it will talk about what counterflexion is and why it's so important. We'll also do a podcast episode on that a little bit later because I think it's super important. And just where's your sense of balance and how are they turning? Where are they at now? So that you can sort of look at today's where you're at. I always advocate for sort of looking at today and then reviewing yourself in 3 months and reviewing where your horse is at and seeing, can you see any noticeable change? Because that can be really motivating as well as a rider. Sometimes you don't feel like you're making any progress until you look at the real nitty gritties and realize 3 months ago, my horse went around like a giraffe and he was looking to the left when I was turning to the right. And he had no sense of balance through his barrel at all. And now he can turn like a riding horse. This will help you, as I said, to motivate you, but it will also help your horse immensely when you focus on little things like bend and suppleness, because they're the little details that we tend to gloss over. And I'm going to do a podcast episode on, I guess, the value of slowing down and looking at the little details, because everything for these horses is new. And if we don't celebrate the little wins, then all we're doing is looking 10 steps ahead and focusing on the big issues like canter and like pacing. And we're missing all the cool little things that our horse learns along the way. And I talk about this often, and I'm going to probably talk about it nearly every podcast episode because it's so important. When you retrain a standard bred, it's like building a house. You've got to lay those smooth foundations. Don't miss any steps. Little steps like working on your horse's sense of bend and flexion in the early stages really sets your horse up so that when you sort of get through that, if you're doing dressage, for example, level 5 and level 4, and you're ready to start going to the sort of the middle to higher grades, it's so much easier because your horse is already conditioned physically for the job. You're communicating a lot better. And just physically, they're able to sort of drop down from a 20-meter circle to a 15-meter circle to a 10-meter circle with much more balance and confidence and much more correctly than they would be able to do if you just didn't work on these things in the early stages. And I do see it a lot when I go out to competitions and shows and I watch horses going around the lower levels. Some of the very easy things riders can do is just focus on, where is your horse looking with his nose? Is he looking around the corner or is he looking in the opposite direction? So these are some of the things that are going to be in your PDF, which you can download, just to really see where things are at. And even if you've had your standard bred for a long time, I think these are super helpful because sometimes we sort of get to a point where we're like, well, now what? And we're not realizing that there's really easy marks in some of the lower movements. Or if we're having difficulty with canter, for example, it might just be because our horse has no idea how to bend around a circle or corner properly. And so by worrying about canter, what we're forgetting is that if our horse is bending correctly and looking around the corner and coming through that corner nicely or on that circle with balance and not counterflexed, then when we ask for the canter, it's just more natural. Whereas if our horse is bent incorrectly, really straight through the barrel and looking in the opposite direction, they're going to struggle to go up that gear into canter, and they're actually probably going to just pick up the wrong canter lead altogether. So I want to just gloss over this little topic, bring it to your attention. I think sometimes just having someone highlight some of the little things that you can do to improve your workouts on the whole is super important. Go and have a look. As I said, raisingthestandards.com.au/02. There's some video footage and there will be a little download sheet which will allow you to assess your horse's sense of bend and suppleness. All right, guys, that's enough for me today. Just a short one, but I hope it really helps you along your way. Thanks. Bye.